So you were driving down the road and?
I wasn't able to speed up and people were tailgating me. I got rear-ended.
A reckless driver at fault?
I immediately slammed my brakes and swerved to the right in an attempt to avoid the vehicles, but I did clip Ms. Coltellino's vehicle.
Or an irresponsible driver tempting fate?
You were breaking the law. You were driving for 8 months with no insurance.
Your Honor, I was unaware.
Bottom line, I don't trust you.
Judge Judy. You are about to enter the courtroom of Judge Judith Scheinlin. The people are real. The cases are real. The rulings are final. This is Judge Judy. 24-year-old Dawn Coltellino is suing fellow motorist David Novak for a rear-end accident on a mountain road.
Order. All rise. It's case number 80 on the calendar, the matter of Coltellino versus Novak. Parties have been sworn in. You may be seated, sir. Have a seat. You're welcome.
Ms. Coltellino, it is your claim that the defendant rear-ended your car, causing your car to be totaled. You want him to pay the damage to the car. His insurance company determined that you were at fault. His insurance company declined to pay for your car. So far, is that correct?
Correct.
And at the time of the accident, you were driving without insurance. Okay. So let's start out with that fact first.
Okay.
What is the make and model of your car?
It's a 1998 Subaru Forester.
In whose name is it?
It's in my name.
When did you purchase it?
In 2000.
What is the name of your insurance company?
I was insured under Erie. I'm from Pennsylvania.
You were insured under what?
Erie, in Pennsylvania.
Okay. What was the date of this accident?
February 23rd, 2014.
And on what date was your car last insured prior to the accident?
I had a policy that my parents took out for me from May 17th, 2013 to May 17th of 2014. I was under the influence that I had insurance.
Just a second. I want to know when the policy lapsed on your car. You understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
You're coming to court and you're coming to court to ask for the court's assistance because you claim that there was an accident that was not your fault. And I'm telling you that if you were driving around for months without insurance, that means that you were breaking the law by not having any insurance.
Your Honor, I have a piece of paper.
I'd like to see it.
For that, okay. Can you burn? I'd like to also explain to you why I took my case to small claims court.
Just a second.
Okay.
So at the time of the accident in February, you had been without insurance since August.
Yes.
For 7 months.
Your Honor, I had every reason to believe that I was insured. This is a copy of my policy. It shows the date that it goes until. I wasn't
well,
about to call every
that.
Month to make Just sure that the policy was still active.
Hey, listen, my dear. First of all, the policy was in your name. Not in your parents' name, like you told me a couple of minutes ago when you were last. Hey! Not in your parents' name, which is what you told me a couple of minutes ago. And while your policy is effective for a year, we all know that you pay your insurance either quarterly or by the month. So you didn't have every reason to believe that your policy was in effect unless you can show me proof that you paid it. You got where I'm going?
Yes.
You got where I'm going. So let's start with number one. So the policy that you told me was in your parents' name was in your name.
I mentioned that.
That's the policy, lie number one.
My parents took out the policy
that's a
li- for
no,
me.
No, that's not what you said. You said I was covered under my parents' policy.
I didn't say it was in their name.
I don't trust you.
Okay.
Bottom line, I don't trust you.
Did David mention so that's that he didn't have
so
insurance?
That's the way we're starting. That you're not supposed to be driving on the road with no insurance. You knew you didn't pay your insurance, and you knew that despite the fact that you may have made an initial payment 8 months before, you hadn't made payments since, and you know that when you don't pay insurance, it lapses. You also know, I assume, that since you were probably still living at the same address, they don't just cancel your policy. They send you notifications. We haven't received your money. You get this. Sometimes they even send it in pink. Or in red. You know, your policy is going to be canceled.
Your Honor, I don't live there. I'm in the process of moving to Colorado.
I don't trust anything that you're telling me. So now you have 30 seconds to tell me why you think he's responsible for your damaged car. Then he's going to tell me his story about what happened on February 23rd. So you were driving down the road and...
I was driving down the road. southbound on 119. I had a trail of cars behind me.
Why, was it highly trafficked or were you going slowly?
It's a mountain road and I was coming up a hill and I have a four-cylinder car. I wasn't able to speed up and people were tailgating me. And I did the correct thing by putting my turn signal on, hitting my brakes and pulling over onto a pull-off that I was familiar with. And two cars went around me just fine. And that I got rear-ended.
So you pulled off.
Yes.
Two cars went around you.
Yes.
His car did not go around you.
It did not.
And he clipped you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now your story.
Yes, thank you, Your Honor. I was driving home on February 23rd, home from work at around 4 p.m., and I was doing about 30 miles per hour. This is 15 miles per hour below the posted speed limit. And I came over the crest of one of these hills, and I saw two vehicles either stopped or traveling very slowly. I saw their brake lights on, and one was in each lane blocking the road. And so I immediately slammed my brakes and swerved to the right in an attempt to avoid the vehicles. But there was, as you can see here, there was a large snowbank where the snow from the road had been plowed into the shoulder, so there was no available shoulder. As you can see, as depicted here, this is a no-passing zone, this section of highway, due to the limited sight distance. So no vehicles should have been passing. Ms. Coltellino decided to stop on just over the crest of a blind hill where there was no shoulder, there was no pull-off, and she decided to stop there to allow this traffic to pass. So I did clip her vehicle and then subsequently slid my vehicle down into that snowbank.
Why did you stop your car?
Your Honor, can you take a look?
Why did you stop your car?
Because people were tailgating me and I was pulling over to allow
them
to pass.
Why were they tailgating you?
Because I was going slow. It was changed from a 35 to a 45. I was trying to speed up, but I can't shift my car. It's an automatic. And I was going slow. I was allowing them to pass. I was doing the right thing.
He says it's a no pet. Don't show me a picture.
I have a picture that says it's not a blind corner.
Just a second.
You can see.
Are you going to show me that this is a passing area?
May I
Are you going to show me that this is a passing area? Is there a double yellow line?
Yes.
Well, then nobody can pass
you. There was a dirt pull-off that I was pulling my car off onto.
Oh, that I would like to see that you were all the way off the road when you got clipped.
The glass indicates where I got hit. That's the next morning, very early the next morning.
Is this where you're telling me you pulled your car and your car was totally off the road? Is that what you're telling me?
I was in the process of pulling my car off the road, yes. My tires were on the white line. My left tires were on the white line.
Who was in the car with you?
My boyfriend, Daniel.
Stand up. Why was she going so slowly?
I would love to explain.
No, oh. Look at me.
Sorry. Yes.
Why was she going so slowly?
I wouldn't use so slowly. Actually, mm-hmm. we were going 30. It switches to a 45. And as you can see, it's a gradual uphill. It's not a blind corner. It's not a crest. You can see.
Listen, I asked you a question. Don't talk to him. Talk to me. I said, why was she going so slowly?
You're asking me why she was driving so slowly.
Yes, you were in the car with her.
So slowly.
You were in the car. Listen to me.
We were being tailgated.
You were in the car with her. The driver of the car. Are you trying to talk over me? Since you didn't understand my question, I'm going to repeat it to you. You're in the car with her. Clearly, she looks in the back, that's what she says, and she sees a whole line of cars tailgating her. I want to know, because I read her complaint, why was she going so slowly? You mean you didn't have any conversations between the two of you?
I told you specifically it went from a 30 to a 45. It's a gradual uphill. She has a 98 Subaru, and it's a four-cylinder. It wasn't going up to 45, and they were tailgating us, trying to, be on our tail. All she did was turn on her blinker to pull off in this pull-off. It's a common pull-off. Other people use it. It's not like we know of this pull-off. Other people have used it. We have evidence that other people use this pull-off.
Oh, I'd like to see other evidence that other people use the pull-off.
Your Honor, if I may.
No.
Okay.
She turned on her blinker because she was going from 30 to 45. She couldn't make the speed, transition quick enough, so she put on her blinker. We pulled off into this pull-off, which you can clearly see based on where the Sundance perspective, all the perspectives. It's not a blind corner. You could see.
Oh, it is a blind corner, sir.
That's a blind corner?
Yes, it is.
You can
it is
take
a blind,
a look at this
that's
one.
That's a blind corner. Right there is a blind corner.
How is that a blind corner?
That's taken from very far away. You can see that vehicle that's
You can see that vehicle from a far distance. That's where we were pulled off.
That's a very far away photo.
A blind corner. I wouldn't pass another car going around there. I mean, if you're telling me that other cars went around you,
My car was...
She put her blinker
going
on.
Going off the road.
Before she even had a chance to completely pull off the road, the first car went around and crossed on the double yellow because we had her blinker on. We were trying to...
Okay, just a second. So the first car...
Yes.
Because she put her blinker on to pull over, went across a double yellow line to get around her.
Yes.
It's very common on that road specifically. People drive very crazy.
Let me tell you this. I think that they both knew that they shouldn't have been driving that day. And despite the fact that she lies, comfortably lies, which is a problem for me, you know that you clipped her in the rear.
Correct.
Right.
Judge Judy continues in a moment. And later today...
If I go to another country and the thing that gives me the right to stay in that country is a little card, I sleep with it into my pajamas. I don't put it in a storage unit. Never happened!
Real cases, real people. Judge Judy. Dawn Coltellino says fellow motorist David Novak rear-ended her on a mountain road. David says Dawn stopped her car on a blind curve.
Now, you know that you should have been traveling in such a manner that you should have been able to avoid touching her car. And of course, they put themselves in harm's way. She placed them in harm's way by pulling over in a place where in order to get around her, because she wasn't off the road completely, they had to cross over, according to them, a double yellow line. She put two other cars, because that's what they said, in harm's way. Mm-hmm. But they didn't hit her.
Yes, Your Honor.
You did. So you weren't traveling carefully enough in a blind area to avoid hitting her.
Your Honor, those vehicles were able to pass her because they had been following her closely. They knew she was there, whereas I was further down the roadway. I wasn't involved in this
then
train.
Then you should have been, if it's a blind turn, more careful.
Oh, I acted with due regard, Your Honor.
I have to assess, first of all, she's traveling in an old car that she can't even make the speed limit on. So I don't even know what the value is of that car. I don't care, actually. She also has a problem with me of lack of veracity and of being involved in her own quasi-criminal activity, which is driving a car without insurance, knowingly, and I believe she knew it. However, you didn't do the right thing by being careful enough and cautious enough around this blind turn to avoid an unexpected child in the road, an unexpected animal crossing the road. So you have to have some measure of liability for that.
Ma'am, if I might explain. The officer's police report does indicate that I was traveling at 30 miles per hour, 15
That's okay.
below the limit.
That's
so
okay.
I feel that I was being careful, knowing that I had limited sight.
You weren't careful enough.
You also gave him a
record. Well,
you weren't careful enough. Judgment for the plaintiff in the amount of $50. That's all. Step out.
$50. All right, is our excuse. You may step out.
They gave the defendant a careless driving ticket.
They placed the plaintiff at fault.
Due to driver inexperience.
They realized that she had stopped in a place where no one could have seen her.
And I had no proof of insurance, and I had that, and I took care of that.
So they placed her at fault for the accident and also issued her a ticket for not having insurance.
Yeah, life's a learning experience, and we all learned something here today.
And now, the next case.
All parties in the matter of Ocon versus Meeks. Step forward.
Augustine Ocon is suing his ex-girlfriend, Tamara Meeks, for the value of belongings she was storing on his behalf, including his green card and passport.
Mr. Ocon, do you have your wallet with you, sir?
Yes.
Do you have a driver's license?
Yes.
You have your driver's license with you? Great. And you carry it in your wallet?
Yes.
Just some preliminary questions. You keep your driver's license in your wallet, right?
Yes.
Yeah. This is what the case is about. You two knew each other. I don't know whether you lived together for a while. I don't care. There came a time that you needed to store some stuff. The defendant had a storage facility. According to you, she said to you, I have some room in my storage facility. You can use it if you like, you know, to put some of your stuff that you don't need every day, because that's what people put in a storage facility, Mr. Ocon. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Of course. I mean, I have stuff in the storage rooms. You put them down there, that's like they go in a dark hole. You never see them. Usually the only one who goes in there to clean it out is your children when you're dead. And then they say, why did they leave all this stuff here for me to clean out? That's what happens with things that go into storage. So you put your old junk in her storage room a year and a half ago. Well, then she was going to lose the storage unit. She didn't need it anymore. According to you, she didn't give you any notice. She disposed of your stuff, and you want $5,000. Not because your stuff was worth $5,000, because you had some kitchen utensils and some clothes, some other stuff. But you say in your storage unit, you're not a citizen of this country, so you had your green card there. That's what you say. Your green card that allows you to stay in this country.
That's correct.
Never happened.
Judge Judy continues in a moment.
I would like you to read the second line in the first paragraph, and I want you to read it slowly so that I can savor it.
Real cases, real people. Judge Judy. Augustine Oka claims ex-girlfriend Tamara Meeks disposed of belongings and legal documents she was storing on his behalf.
Now, just like you keep your driver's license in your wallet, if I go to another country and I'm not a citizen of that country, and the thing that gives me the right to stay in that country is a little card, and it's green, and it's no bigger than a driver's license, I keep that. I sleep with it pinned to my pajamas. I don't put it in a storage unit, so I believe you. A Zippo. Then you say you want this $5,000, Mr. Okan, because you left your passport in the storage unit. Now, some things don't make sense to me. I travel a lot for work because I don't live here where we work, so I travel. Do you know that I am a citizen of this country? I carry my passport. So these little documents that don't weigh a lot, you keep close by. So do I believe that you left your passport in a storage unit for 14 months? Zippo. Don't believe it. So what you left in the storage unit was probably a lot of junk. Knives and forks and spoons and maybe a blender, a toaster. What else did he leave in the storage unit?
Oh, my goodness. An overcooked George Foreman.
What?
Yes, it was grease all over it in a bag, and it was messy.
A George Foreman cooker. Grease-free unit that was full of grease?
Grease everywhere, on top, on the outside, and the inside
of it. What else did he leave there?
A box of literally junk, just random things just thrown into a box. It was shoes, towels, extension cords, safety pins, and...
What else did he leave there?
He left a box of dishes and crock pots, and all that stuff wasn't even clean. It had cheese, rice on the forks and the spoons.
Fine. How many months did you leave your stuff in her storage?
It wasn't up to a month.
It wasn't there a month?
Yes.
How many months did he leave his stuff in storage?
From April 2013 to October 2013.
That is a lie.
When did you put your stuff in the storage?
September. Last year.
In April, this is what you wrote. I would like you to read the second line in the first paragraph, and I want you to read it slowly so that I can savor it.
Judge Judy continues in a moment. Have you been cheated? Go to judgejudy.com. Like us on Facebook. And follow us on Twitter.
It starts, I hit a rough patch in April of 2013. Okay. I didn't have enough money for rent. I needed to move in a hurry. A friend of mine, Tamara Meeks, had a storage unit and offered up a section of it to store my things and while I searched for an affordable apartment. Is that signature on the bottom of there your signature, sir?
Yes, Your Honor.
April 2013, not September, April.
It's my signature.
I said to you, it says April 2013, not September. April, May, June, July, August, September, that's 6 months.
6 months, yeah.
Okay, this is what the paper says, but...
That's what the paper said, that's what I believe. Goodbye, Mr. Rokin. Goodbye. You have no case. I don't believe you.
No.
Period.
No.
Goodbye.
Your Honor.
Goodbye, Mr. Rokin.
This...
I want you to say to me, look at me, goodbye. Say goodbye. I'm not impolite, Mr. Rokin. I don't believe you. Goodbye.
Please excuse me, step out.
Judge Judy continues in a moment. And on the next Judge Judy.
Family friction goes into overdrive.
You had an argument with her.
She pushed me, demanded that I pay her money. I said, take it up with your son. She said, I'll see you in court.
Next, Judge Judy.
When I called her, I told her, hey, we have to talk about this.
I was getting harassed.
I'm going to take you to the next level, to the court.
He would call me and threaten to hit me if he see me on the streets.
I never do that.
Harass me about all these things that he had in my storage unit.
This case is not going to end here. We're still going to get to the next level.
It was really stressful for me to deal with this.